bring us together.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Gary Sick, a senior research scholar at Columbia University's Middle East Institute and the author of All Fall Down, America's Tragic Encounter with Iran, and October Surprise, America's Hostages in Iran and the Election of Ronald Reagan. He served on the National Security Council under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan, and was the principal White House aide for Iran during the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis. He just met with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani last Wednesday. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gary Sick.
Ian, it's very good to be back with you.
And what was your impression of Hassan Rouhani?
Well, he is he's a very serious, he smiles a lot, but he's a very serious guy with a real measure of gravitas. He's obviously somebody who knows what he's talking about. He's fully in command of his brief. He understands English very well. He chose to speak in Persian, but he listened in English without translation and handled himself extremely well. He has had a history that is rather remarkable. He's been involved in every major security and policy decision on the part of the Iranian government really since certainly the Rafsanjani period, early in the immediate aftermath of Khomeini's death. So this is a guy who has been part of the system all the way along, but who got elected to, in fact, bring the system forward. Ahmadinejad, his predecessor, was a catastrophe for Iran in every way, in terms of its image, in terms of its public policy, in terms of its economy, certainly in terms of its world image. And Rouhani has got the very unenviable task to try to come in and change that. So I think part of what we were seeing during his trip here was his attempt to say, look, despite what you've seen, heard, and thought in the past, Iran can be, in fact, a legitimate partner for you in talking about not only the nuclear issue, which we are anxious to get to actually settle and bring to a resolution, but also on other issues such as Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and many, many other things. So he was here basically to convince people that he was a legitimate interlocutor, and I would say that for those who met with him, and up to and including Secretary of State Kerry and President Obama, I would say he had a very significant amount of success.
And Gary Sick, my understanding is he's something of a consummate insider within the revolutionary government, and which is obviously...
He's an insider who got elected as an outsider. It's not the first time that's happened. We've had lots of people in Washington who run as outsiders, criticizing the government when they are, in fact, insiders and they've been part of the government all along. That's a standard way of doing it. You don't see it so often in Iran. But the reality is that he reflects the views of the former presidents Rafsanjani and Khatami, both of whom, and particularly Khatami, was recognized by everybody as a reformer who wanted to change the system and wanted to, basically be more tolerant, leave room, much more room for women's rights, civil rights, and the like. And it was Khatami's endorsement of Rouhani that, in effect, galvanized his campaign and, in effect, got him elected. So he was elected because of his views, not because of his background. His background, however, which he was, in fact, the personal representative of the Supreme Leader on their National Security Council for the last, basically, quarter of a century. And as such, he knows the Supreme Leader about as well as anybody in the business. And it does mean his access as an insider, a trusted insider, is that he knows how to get things done. that was the big problem with Khatami, who was a real outsider, who had not really been part of either the revolution or the government for any period of time, and was not at all versed in foreign policy and security issues. It wasn't that he wasn't smart and capable, it was that they didn't take him seriously, and they basically undercut him from the beginning. The hardliners did. As we've seen with Rouhani, he came back to Iran after this trip, and some people greeted him with cheers, but there was a small group of people, protesters, who said, death to America, don't talk to the Americans, and so forth. So he's got a group of hardliners in his country that have to be dealt with. He's in a better position to do that than really any president that Iran has had up until this point.
And that's the assumption, is that because he's got close connections to the Revolutionary Guard Corps and the Quds, he even met, I believe, with the Iran-Contra secret delegation from the Reagan administration, with Bud McFarlane and Oliver North, who brought the cake and the pistol in the infamous Iran-Contra.
The people have made that claim. It's not confirmed.
I see.
And the people who really know the Iran-Contra issue very well think that this is an exaggeration. But if he did, it was, you take it as evidence of the fact that here he is,
right,
basically for his entire career, has been promoting the idea of U.S.-Iran relations, has actually been willing to meet right. with, talk with Americans under any circumstances. And actually, his later career was much more significant, where he, in fact, was the nuclear negotiator for Iran in the 2003 to 2005 period, when they actually did make an agreement with the Europeans they actually suspended all of their enrichment and made an offer that the Europeans thought was really very good to basically cap their enrichment activities and their nuclear program. That was turned down by the Americans. And so, in effect, his history has been that he has been pushing the idea of settling the nuclear issue, getting it off the table, taking care of that, and then moving to a different level of, in fact, involvement with the international community. He has been thwarted at least two or three times by the Americans in that process. So he didn't come here naive and wide-eyed. He came understanding that he was going to have to put up, and also had to beware of being betrayed. And that may help explain why he didn't rush to have a handshake with President Obama until he got some idea of what he could expect, whether the Americans were in fact prepared to deal with him at an appropriate level.
And again, I'm speaking with Gary Sick, a senior research scholar at the Columbia University's Middle East Institute, and he served on the National Security Council under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan, and was the principal White House aide for Iran during the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis. And he just met with Iran's new president, Rouhani, last Wednesday. So since then, of course, you had the P5+1 meeting that apparently went very well. And then you had on Friday the IAE meeting in Vienna that apparently went very well as well. They're talking about meeting again in mid-October. So what is going on, in your opinion, Gary Sick, with Iran's nuclear program? Because they've taken such a hit over it with these crippling sanctions, which clearly Rouhani wants to remove, and the Iranian people desperately want removed. And then do they want the same kind of capability that the Japanese have, where they have the ability, they have the tremendous enrichment ability, but to move to a bomb, they could do it very quickly, but they don't want to do it?
I think they will settle for something far, far less than the Japanese. The Japanese basically are on the very brink of having, if they decided to have a nuclear weapon, they could do it almost, a friend of mine joked that the Japanese, if they made up their mind, could have a bomb in a long weekend. I don't think Iran anticipates that, or do they particularly, they certainly don't expect that will be the outcome of the negotiations. But they do want to have formal recognition of their right to enrich uranium and to run their own program and to provide their own supplies for their own power plants and the like, because they say that they can't trust the international community to provide those supplies under normal circumstances. So they want to be, they want to have a degree of autonomy. That will mean that Iran will have the capacity, at some level of capacity, to break out, that is, to actually move from their existing situation with being inspected and monitored by the IAEA. They would be able, if they took a decision, they would be able to build a bomb. The question is, how long would it take? They have the capability now. I mean, if they decided to go for a bomb today, they could certainly have a bomb within, say, a year. And some people think it's faster than that. I personally don't think they can get a, they could get all the pieces together and put a bomb together. Certainly not a deliverable bomb in less than a year, and it could be longer than that. I think that is what we're going to be negotiating about now. The interesting, what really happened during this last week was that from the meeting between Secretary of State Kerry and Zarif, the foreign minister, on Thursday, that was the first time that an American Secretary of State had sat down to talk substantively with an Iranian, basically since before the Iranian Revolution. That was 34 years ago. This meeting was extraordinary because it, first of all, took place in, first and initially, at the IAEA meeting, where, I mean, at the P5 plus one meeting, where Zarif made a big presentation. Then at the end of that, about 20 minutes or 25 minutes of presentation, there was a roundtable discussion about the proposals that Iran had put on the table. And at the end of that, Kerry leaned over him to him and said, you know, would you have time to talk for a few minutes? And the two of them went out by themselves to another room, no note takers, nothing. And they were in the room for at least 30 minutes. And when they came out, they were both smiling. And clearly, they had at least satisfied each other that they had something useful to talk about. And then that was then capped by the next day when President Obama picked up the phone in the Oval Office and called Rouhani on his way to the airport and wished him a good trip, and they exchanged a couple of words and some substantive words, but then at the end of the thing, Obama said goodbye to him in Persian, and he said, have a good day in English. That is extraordinary. There's nothing like that that has happened, certainly in more than about 35 years, any contact whatsoever, let alone something of that nature. The ice has started to break between Washington and Tehran. Now, how far that will go and how fast remains to be seen. I don't think we should get ahead of ourselves, but the next meeting is, as you say, the P5 plus one with Zarif there will be meeting in Geneva on the 15th of October. And a few days after that, the IAEA will be meeting either in Geneva or Vienna, I'm not sure. In both of those cases, Iran will be coming with a set of concrete proposals. I think what has happened thus far is that Iran has said, here is the end game that we would like to see. We would like to negotiate with you knowing that this is where we want to end up and spelling that out. That's not public, and we don't have the details. And I believe the Americans agreed to that. So if you've got some kind of an end state in mind, where you know that this is where we would like to go, then you can begin to put together a step-by-step plan about how you're going to get there. And it seems to me if that initial end plan is accepted, that's where we are now, and the negotiations from now on will be about, all right, how do we get there? That's not to say that it's easy. It's just that it is eons ahead of where we were just 2 weeks ago.
Well, just in the last minute, Gary Sick, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel will be the last to speak at the UN in this General Assembly session, and he will meet with President Obama at the White House on Monday. The Iranians are trying to tie the Israel nuclear arsenal to the situation that they're in. Is that going to work? I mean, the Israelis clearly have a very, very advanced arsenal. They tested a thermonuclear device on the 22nd of September 1979 off the coast of Namibia, which is, for all intents and purposes, a neutron bomb. So they've got a very advanced arsenal, from my understanding. Is that ever going to come on the block?
It's certainly not contingent. I mean, the negotiations that will be held with the P5 plus one do not require Israel to give up its nuclear capability. But Iran is also the chair presently of the non-aligned movement. And while he was in New York, Rouhani made a speech saying, don't forget that there's only one country in the entire Middle East that has not signed the non-proliferation treaty. And that country is Israel. And he called Israel by its name, not the Zionist entity. And I think it's clear that when Mr. Netanyahu speaks this week, he will try to undo what was done with Rouhani here. He will try to cast doubts on his reliability, on his honesty, and so forth, and will call for all kinds of steps with regard to Iran. And I think that what Rouhani did while he was here was to remind people that Iran is not the only country in the Middle East which either has a potential capability of building a bomb, but actually has a stockpile of nuclear weapons.
Well, Gary Sick, I'm afraid we've run out of time, but I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, Ian, as always.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Gary Sick, who's a senior research scholar at Columbia University's Middle East Institute. He is served on the National Security Council under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan, and was the principal White House aide for Iran during the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis. He just met with Iranian President Rouhani last Wednesday. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by half.